Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 692. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm supposed to have an intro that's really fancy right now, but I have a pending lawsuit with Nintendo, so I'm not allowed to use it. Sorry.
Oh, they got you for patent infringement, I see.
They did. I threw a Pokeball to catch it. It was awful.
Yeah. So it's just us right now. Earl may join us. Jeff is sick. And since you started off with a joke about Pal World and Pokemon, as you know, Tony kind of alluded to there, Nintendo has sued the Pal World devs for patent infringement. Did you get the chance to look at any of this? Like,
so they haven't. That's all the information that there is at the moment. So it's not, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, you're copying Pokemon. Like, that thing looks a lot like this thing over here. But that would be copyright infringement.
Right.
But that's not what Nintendo is alleging. They're alleging patent infringement. But there was a response from Pocket Pair today that indicated that Nintendo hasn't, like, filed exactly what patents are being infringed upon. So we're not quite sure what they're going after in particular. I would be interested to see, like, having played Pal World, there's not that much mechanically within the game that is similar to Pokemon.
Right.
Except for the catching aspect. Now, has Nintendo,
you throw,
like,
a ball? Like, do you throw
a ball and you catch monsters. And later on, you throw out the ball and the monsters come out of the ball. You use them to do stuff. Has Nintendo patented that? I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, I'll be interested in how that plays out, because you would have thought they would have gone after the copier, because there are, like, just some blatant, like, these almost look note for note like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
But they went with this kind of, like, mechanic.
Yeah.
We patented something. We patented either, you know, coding or a style here. That's what they're going after.
It's strange. I have, like, a couple thoughts, and I think my first thought is, I really hate that companies are allowed to patent game mechanics. It's counterproductive to, like, art and, like, developing the field. I think back to, like, the Mordor games, like Shadows of Mordor.
Yeah.
Where they had that super cool Nemesis system, which they then patented, and we haven't seen since then at all.
Yeah, they haven't used it, and nobody else can use it unless they pay, you know, Monolith and Warner Brothers for. So we'll never see it again.
Yeah, which sucks, because it was a great idea, and it would work in so many cases. And, like, has Nintendo done the same thing with whatever mechanic they're alleging here? Kind of seems that they have, or they're at least pretending like they have. The other thing is, I think it's kind of a naked attempt by Nintendo to intimidate a smaller studio. Like, we are Nintendo. You have made this thing that is like Pokemon. We're going to sue you. Now, they may have nothing, but they have so many more resources than Pocket Pair is going to have in this case that they may end up, you know, forcing concessions just because they can afford the court case that Pocket Pair cannot.
Right. But, like, Nintendo can just basically stall forever until
Pocket Pair can't afford the case anymore, which also sucks.
Yeah.
They're just trying to, like, clear the field. They're like, this game is too much like Pokemon. You need to get out of our space. And this is what they do to force that to happen.
And it's not, though, right? Like, it's something completely different. Like, it's basically a survival game. Like,
yes, it's much closer to, like, Ark.
Yeah.
Than it is to Pokemon. It's just very, very odd. Now, that does come on the heels of, like, I can't remember if it was 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. Sony and Pocket Pair formed, like, a company to expand the brand.
Okay.
Of Pal World. And so Nintendo might be responding to that. They're like, okay, this is getting aggressive in our face now. We need to kill it before it learns to walk.
That could be, right? Like, okay, like we would let you have your like little indie survival Pokemon yeah. game off on the side, but now you're trying to, you know, you're, 'cause that's what Nintendo did, right? The Pokemon company is a separate entity between like Nintendo and I think there's somebody else involved there. The developers of Pokemon, like they are the Pokemon company, and maybe they view that as what Sony and Pocket Pair are doing now.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
Right. It'll be interesting. I think Discovery will be very interesting because the other thing I noticed in Pocket Pair's statement was, they didn't deny anything. Like normally when you see these, it's like, we've done nothing wrong. We will, you know, pursue this to the ends of the earth to prove that we were, had done no wrongdoing or whatever. And that's not what their statement said.
Yeah. I mean, it is that normally they do just come out and like, oh, we're super defensive.
Yeah.
I wonder if not knowing what the hell Nintendo's even suing over, it's right. like, they're like, we like, can't tell you if we did anything or not because right. we don't know.
Like, it's also maybe Nintendo has a patent that they were unaware of.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Again, we'll find out. We don't have any details at all. It's really weird that a court case gets filed. I don't know how it works in like the suit was filed in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Like, if you file a suit in like the U.S., like there's more details in your initial filing. Here, where there's here, this case, there's nothing, like absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
True. We have to just like wait to see how it plays out. I do wonder, like, I do wonder if it's maybe the Pokeball thing, and they're just like, nope, like that's the thing we got you on. Like everything else is kind of fair use or whatever, but can't have you throwing Pokeballs. But even that's kind of derivative, right? Like, you know,
there are other games that use that mechanic too.
Yeah, like. I mean, I just know back from like in, you know, when we were kids, like Ghostbusters used, like it wasn't a ball, but they throw out a box. Like that's how they caught ghosts. Like,
yeah.
Like objects being tossed out into the open and then opened to catch something is not a new concept. So, all right, well, we'll see how that, kind of plays out. That was I think that was the biggest piece of news of the week. That there was Square came out and said that, you know, the last two Final Fantasies, Rebirth, which came out this year, and 16 did not hit their sales expectations. And
I am shocked.
Right. Like you took Sony money and maybe not enough. Like that might be the problem here is, you didn't take enough Sony money to cover for the lack of sales that you're missing out on PC, which you're just hitting now with 16 hitting this week, and Xbox and Nintendo platforms. Like, you not releasing there diminishes the amount of people that can buy your thing, and those games are only available on. Up until now, we're only available on PlayStation 5. Like, they weren't even PlayStation 4 games. So,
yeah,
you're limiting your audience.
Yeah. Now, 16 is on PC as of,
I think, yesterday.
What? Yesterday.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like we keep hearing this from Square Enix on every game they launch misses its sales target. Like, maybe they need to look at their sales target to set them yep. better.
Who are your analysts that are setting your projections? Because they are overshooting.
Like all the Tomb Raider games, like Deus Ex, like all that stuff. They're like, oh, not selling well enough. Like,
and then we hear the numbers wrong. That they sold, and it's like,
yeah.
Well, like Tomb Raider sold, you know, almost 10 million copies. Like, what were you actually expecting? Your Tomb Raider game sold the best of any games in the entire franchise. Like, same with Deus Ex, right? Like, you sold 5 million copies there. Like, what are you expecting? And I get Final Fantasy was at one point a series that could command, you know, 10, 15 million copies sold. there's not too many games that can do that anymore, and certainly not like niche JRPGs.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy is still a massive franchise, but I think we're looking in the 3 to 5 million range now. Like not 15 million.
No. Yeah, there are very few games that sell in that range, and Square Enix doesn't make any of them.
No. No. Nintendo and Activision with Call of Duty and Sony with, you know, some of their God of War, Horizon, stuff like that sells. Like The Last of Us sold massive amounts. Square has not had one of those in 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I just make a real quick glance at what's out there, but I think that was it for news. Oh, Respawn announced that they're working on the third Jedi game. They're going to wrap up that trilogy.
Oh yeah, so. that it was a 3 and then it's going to end.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that to be a never-ending series.
Right.
They're fun. They're fun. Did you finish 2?
I did not finish 2. I didn't finish either game.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, you're not even like big on board with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I'm not wild about the souls, like the way the world is built around the little bonfire thing.
Yeah. I wish it would just make it an action, straight action game.
Yeah. Why does it have to be like that? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's I think the second one is a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just because it's a little more open. So it makes some sense that, like, you know, if you were to rest somewhere that enemies would respawn. Unlike the first one where you would rest somewhere and they would respawn in the exact same locations, and
yeah,
because it's a linear level.
It just feels weird to have like that kind of stuff happening in a game that's where storytelling is central, to have like things that within a story don't make sense.
Yep.
Kind of drives me a little nutty. Like, but the gameplay is great. Like it's fun to play, but like that stuff kind of eats at me as I'm playing along and just annoys me every time I see it.
Like the weirdest thing that anybody would take from the Souls games.
Yeah.
Games and Souls games are not games that have like a narrative structure to them. So you can do that because they're just linear action games that you fight through the levels and you're beating the bosses. Star Wars is very much narrative. So very weird.
Yeah.
I'm
more excited to get into the open world Star Wars game.
Yeah.
That is more appealing to me than.
I hope you like Outlaws. I'm enjoying it. I'm like 12 hours or so in. I've got into I guess I now have access to all the worlds, but I've been to 2 of the worlds, and like you'll get missions in some of them where it like requires you to, it starts on one world and takes you to another system, where you might be on a space station doing something, or you have to land on another planet and do stuff. So like the quests get a little more intricate.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I think it's really kind of fun. And if you kind of like how, I am drawing a blank on the developer, but they did the Division games. Like it's not quite as tactical as that. Like it's definitely more of a arcadey action, but if you like the way they shoot their guns in that game, it feels very similar in this.
I mean, arcadey action seems more Star Wars-ish anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I know that the stealth is something that like a lot of people kind of like, you know, not so sure about. And they said they're going to patch that. So I think
they already did put out a patch.
It's possible. Cause like, I know that the big thing was that like, right, like the second mission of the game, they kind of force you into this stealth sequence. Yeah. And it's a little unforgiving. Like, I think if you've played stealth games before, you figure it out. Like, it's like you're, there's a path that they want you to take. And I think they fixed that a little bit, so it's not as demanding. Yeah, I think it's a fun game. I hope you, when you get around to it, I hope you enjoy it. And having a space combat is like really cool. Like, just being able, like, it's not the best space combat you're ever going to play, but just being able to like go up into space and like have stuff to do there. You know, we're fighting TIE fighters or pirates. Like, it's neat.
Well, that's the other weird thing about Jedi Survivors. There's like those space ship sequences.
Yeah.
They're all just cutscenes. Like, does it have to be? I want to play.
Right. Like, I want to fly my spaceship.
Especially since it's the character I control is the one who's piloting. Like, can we?
Yeah. And that's such a major part of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Space combat. Like, we're just not going to let you do that. All right. Well, what have you been playing this week, Tony?
Not a ton. The one game I have still been getting through is Age of Mythology Retold.
Mm-hmm.
I've now made it to, so there's one big campaign in the game that's, it looks like it's around 40-ish missions, and then there's two smaller campaigns.
Pretty chunky.
Yeah. So I've been playing the big one. And there's like three parts to it. There's a Greek part, an Egyptian part, and a Norse part. I've beaten the Greek part. I'm most of the way through the Egyptian part. I kind of like, I was complaining about this last week, the missions are short.
Yeah.
But it's nice that they kind of, they let you focus on little parts of the game.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to having to take in everything at once. So, like, maybe this mission is focused on certain mythology units, and then this mission is focused on naval units, and this mission is focused on, you know, building up your empire. I also like how different the Egyptians feel from the Greeks. There are a lot of different mechanics. The buildings are different. The Egyptians have...
Like the tech tree of them are different? Or
yes. Okay. Like, they have a completely different set of buildings. So it's not just like, all right, this one has this kind of unit and this one has that kind of unit, although there is a lot of that. But it's like they're building different sorts of buildings.
Okay.
So one of the resources in the game is faith, which you use to build mythological units and like cast like god-like powers.
Mm-hmm.
The Greeks build temples, which in and of themselves don't make any, but they can send like villagers to worship at the temple, which will slowly build up the faith amount. The Egyptians, it works differently. They build like giant monuments to the gods,
mm-hmm.
which slowly over time generate it. So it's like the two, like, they use the same resource, but it comes differently, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And like, so for the other, like for the Greeks, like, do you have to assign, you have to like build villagers and then assign them to the temple, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And then for the Egyptians, like, you're just building like, I don't know, like a sphinx or something, and like you'll slowly gain the same resource from doing that.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Like, just, it's a different mechanic, so you have to learn how to play the Egyptians slightly different than the Greeks.
And the Egyptian ones are cool because their little monuments have like a area of effect around them that like boosts the buildings that they're near. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like you can tactically move them around, and which is cool. The Egyptians also have a pharaoh who he has a bunch of functions. He can like walk up to a building and like make it work faster.
Mm-hmm.
He can like, if you're villagers are building a monument, he can walk up to the monument and make them build it faster. He can like boost the strength of units, and he's also like a really deadly combatant.
That's pretty cool.
There's actually one of the gods you can unlock can like give him like deadly powers where he's like shooting out lasers. Like beware my pharaoh, which is super cool. The Egyptian units are kind of fun too. They have like sphinxes that shoot out lasers. That's one of their things.
That's cool.
Like little crocodile units. It's so different from the Greeks, which have like all like what in my brain is like classical mythological units. It's just nice to see like the Egyptian ones in there. I'm excited to see the Norse ones. I have no idea what to expect.
And those are the three factions: Egyptian, Greek, and Norse. Or is there a fourth?
There's a fourth. The Atlanteans.
Okay.
I don't. I. That's the last part of the campaign, and I don't know. At this point, I don't know anything. It's kind of like they hint repeatedly during the campaign that Atlantis is going to be destroyed. So
that checks out.
The main character is from Atlantis. Basic story. He's in Atlantis during the Trojan War. He gets called to go to Troy and help there. So you do the whole Trojan thing. You build the horse. You take the city. And then on the way back, he kind of goes on his own thing. Much like Odysseus, he gets lost. He gets travels to the underworld. He ends up leaving the underworld, but when he comes up from the underworld, he's in Egypt. So he's like moving all over the place. I'm imagining somehow he ends up in Norway, which is how the Norse thing will end up.
You're a long way from home, buddy.
That's right.
Do you think you'll finish this before? I mean,
it's strategy game season.
For strategy games, yeah.
I can't remember the last time there were that many to play at once. Frostpunk 2, which is getting like rave reviews, comes out tomorrow. Ara comes out next week. Wargroup 2?
I think that's out. I think I just got a notification.
That game actually came out a couple years ago, but I never played it. But now, you know, Game Pass makes it free, so I don't know. We'll see. I kind of like playing through Mythology. See if I can get through Age of Mythology this weekend, and then probably move on to Frostpunk. I don't know. There's so many games out.
It is hard to keep up with them all. Jeff was actually asked. He's like, he asked me if I was going to get the Dead Rising remaster, and I was like, I don't, maybe, but not anytime soon. Like, I'm juggling like 4+ games right now. I don't even know if, like, I wanted to get the Epic Mickey remaster next week, and Zelda comes out next week, and like, I cannot play 6-7 games at a time. Like, it's actually impossible.
And at that point, do you have time for games that you've already played?
Right.
Probably not.
So it's like, I think I might have to wait on some of this stuff, just because there's too much coming out right now.
Yeah.
Which is a weird problem to have after a year of not having that issue at all. We've been able to go pretty smoothly from game to game. Did you get any Space Marine 2 time in?
I have not yet. The trouble I have with games right now is that I'm either at the hospital.
Yeah.
Where I can play games, and I play numerous games at the hospital on my laptop, which is awesome, but I can't play an online multiplayer game.
Right, true.
So the internet's fine, but it's not that good. Or I'm at home, and my day ends much earlier than it did before, so I'm having trouble getting time for Space Marines yet.
All right, well, it'll be there, and maybe by the time you get around to it, I will have cleared off some of my stuff, and
oh, good.
I'll pick it up, and we can play. Maybe Walt won't be done with it.
Yeah, I have a couple friends who've been bugging me about it too. So, yes.
What I've heard is like it's a beautiful looking game. So
yeah.
And I finished the first Space Marines. That game, it shows that it is 13 years old.
Yeah.
I could see why people kind of liked it. I am confused.
Oh, it was always like a B tier type game, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's where like really like people were like, oh, it's like Gears of War. It's like, no, Gears of War is an A tier game. Like, this is like, you know, it's not bad, but it is not Gears. And also, I don't know the Warhammer 40K lore, so like, there's like they talk a lot of nonsense. It's like, I know there's an emperor. I know that they fight space orcs. And this is a, you know, cause it stems back to regular Warhammer. Like this is something that's been, it's a war that has been going on for 40,000 years. So, that's all I know about Warhammer, but, yeah. So maybe at some point we'll all get a chance to play some Space Marines too.
Did I just see Aaron Rodgers go down, by the way?
I don't have the game on that. I don't wish the guy to get hurt, but I do wish misfortune on the Jets.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, see. Again, I want Jeff to talk about Astrobot. I've been continuing on with that. That game is just a pure joy to play.
Yeah.
I've just been hitting it like, you know, one or two levels a day, getting all the bots and puzzle pieces, and then kind of shutting it off. So I'm only three. I've just finished the third world today. That one ends with an Uncharted themed level, which is really neat. Like the little Nathan Drake bot, he throws you a gun and then you play Uncharted with Astrobot.
Oh gosh.
Like it's really neat. Like, except like unlike in Uncharted where the enemies are bullet sponges, everything dies in Astrobot with one hit. So like normally there's like one, two, three, like very small amount of enemies that you're fighting. And as soon as you get the gun, like they pull up like five or six more because it's like, we're just going to throw a ton of enemies at you because that's what Nathan Drake does. He just kills tons of people in his adventures. The level is actually really neat. There's like some light puzzle solving. There's lots of like swinging on vines and, you know, treasure chests to open up and find. Like, it's really cool. There's a God of War level. That's the second world. Like it has like that's how that one ends.
Olympus, do you get to like?
So it's the new God of War. So it takes place in the Norway version, the Norse version. So you get the axe,
and
you throw the axe. And so some of the puzzles are very similar to God of War, like where, you know, you have to freeze this thing, so that you can, you know, pull a chain over here. And it'll open a door, like, but you can also freeze enemies with the axe. It's like they went all out with some of these. Those are the most memorable levels, I think, along with the boss battles, which are really neat. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but if you enjoy platformers, I think it's like it's a real treat. And if you've played PlayStation games, like some of the stuff they throw in here is really, really, really cool. It's a ton of fun. I think once your kids are back home, Tony, I think they would probably get a kick out of this one if they like Mario. Yeah. And
oh yeah.
So it's a really neat special game. I'm looking forward to see what else happens in it. Like, I think I have three more galaxies left. So there's going to be three more big bosses and then three more final areas. And I'm wondering what the theming on them will be this time out, because they've done Ape Escape, Uncharted, and God of War, There's so many that they could do.
The Last of Us.
That would be wild. The Last of Us Horizon, I think, would be a neat one to do.
Yeah.
They could do a lot of really cool things with Astrobot. We will certainly be talking about that once Jeff feels better, though, so I'll leave that as is.
Update, it was not Aaron Rodgers. It was one of the offensive tackles.
Okay. I mean, that also means that they're still going to play well, but... Funko Fusion came out last week. I did pick that one up despite all the other stuff. We talked a little bit about it last week, just kind of what it is. It
looks slightly terrifying.
So I think there's a couple things that have to be kind of be established. Like, if you don't like pop figures, you find them creepy, it's not a game for you to play, because every character in it is a pop figure. Like, it has like those black dead eyes, no mouth, like minimal facial features, really big head, kind of like a bobblehead type thing. And if you don't enjoy like the aesthetic of them, terrifying. I could definitely see where you'd think it was terrifying. The other thing is, it's basically a Lego game. So if you like Lego games and you like the structure of a Lego game, 1010 Games has made that, but they've done it with these pop figures in. And what you're getting is like a bunch of different properties kind of thrown together. So it talks, I think, a little bit about it. Maybe last week, where I played Battlestar Galactica. So you're playing as, like, the original Battlestar Galactica people, and you're going through like a story there, and it's the same thing, just like in a Lego game, where it's like, you know, there's this portal, and it's like to World One, and then when you finish that, the next door opens, you can go to World One, Two. So Battlestar Galactica has 5 levels. You finish that, you've done the Battlestar Galactica story. The next one I picked up on was Hot. I think it's called Hot Fuzz. The Edgar Wright buddy cop movie. It's a weird choice, I think, for a video game, but
yeah.
But they've done a decent enough job with it. It's fun, like, explore like that. What's interesting about it is that, so you're a cop in that game. In that movie, the two main characters are police detectives, and they're trying to solve a crime that is happening in this small town. And you're like doing some like investigative work. You have to get like this black light, and you set it up at the crime scene, and you're searching the crime scene for different clues and trying to piece the stuff together. So like you're each of the levels, each of the different worlds seems to have like a different theme around it. So I assume that once I get to like the He-Man level or something, like it'll be themed around that. And the Jurassic World level will be themed around kind of like stuff you would do in a Jurassic Park game. It's all still very much, we're going to point and shoot at stuff. Mm-hmm. Because that's what a Lego game is. You know, they've added like the puzzles are around the world that is at play there. So it's neat. I have a couple issues with it. I think that it's a little bit buggy. I've seen items that I'm not prime items that you definitely need to pick up, but like they're, you know, like in a Lego game, there are different there's like minifig pieces and stuff. You need to collect a bunch of them, and you'll unlock like the miniature figure, or there's like gold bricks or red bricks throughout the levels. So this has like a bunch of different collectibles, and some of the ones that they're just optional collectibles, they'll get stuck on a wall, and so the button prompt won't show up, so you can't pick it up, and that's kind of annoying. It stutters a little bit, has really weird load times. Like, you would think a game that's on the Series X and the PlayStation 5 it should be taking advantage of that SSD.
Right.
It has some aggressive load times. Some of the longest I've seen this gen. And yeah, it's not a perfect endeavor. And like, that's one thing that I think Lego does really well. You pop that game in and it's smooth. Like it.
Yes. The initial ones were kind of janky, but like the last bunch have all been so good and so attractive.
Yes. And so this looks attractive. I think if you like, you know, pop figures and stuff, but it is a little janky, like those original, like the original Lego Star Wars game, or like that's the stuff that, you know, we're talking about a series of games that started 25 years ago.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation 2. It's suffers from some of like, oh, this is our first attempt at this, and it's not quite perfect. And unfortunately, like Lego has mastered that, and they have all the licenses for all the big stuff. It's like Funko got some, you know, they got Jurassic World. That's cool, I guess. But there's also a Jurassic, you know, World Lego game. And then, like, these other properties, they have Hot Fuzz, Masters of the Universe, which is cool, Battlestar Galactica, Scott Pilgrim. Like, those are weird choices, and they're, like, B and C tier franchises.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm enjoying it. I'm playing, like, a level a day as I go through, half hour, hour. At a time on it, it's fine. I don't know if we're going to get a sequel to this, because I saw some people talking about it when it came out on, I think, Friday or Thursday last week, and I have not heard anybody since then. So, and looking at the like achievement unlocks and stuff, there's only like 40 of us playing on true achievements. So,
oh no, that's not
like, yeah, that's not good at all. I'm going to enjoy what I'm playing of it, but I don't think we'll see another one. And unfortunately, Earl's not here because I think he had played the Plucky Squire.
Yeah, that game looks fun.
I played the first three chapters because it's available on PlayStation Plus, one of those tiers. And I was kind of like looking to see what Earl had to say about it. It's a storybook, like. The story is very, it's like a children's storybook. The Plucky Squire is inside this book. The story is very much, you know, we're reading a children's book, so there's not like a lot of dialogue, but it bounces between different types of gameplay. So some of it is like top-down Zelda-ish. Some of it is 2D platforming. And then once you get about into the second chapter, you'll get kicked out of the book, and then it becomes a 3D platformer where you're on the desk of this little kid, Sam, in the real world, and you're utilizing the Squire throughout there. You have to figure out, you know, there's different puzzles. There are like the little stealth sections, because there's, I don't know, bugs are evidently horrible to the Plucky Squire.
Oh no.
These like little beetles will attack him and
when he's on the desk?
Yeah, when he's on the desk. I don't know why there's all these bugs all over this kid's desk, but
kid needs to like spray, get some light or something.
His mom or dad needs to come in and like fumigate. He has an infestation of beetles. It's neat. I'm hoping that maybe the gameplay gets a little more intricate or complex, because right now it's been very basic. But there's one other cool thing that I thought. There's puzzles. There's word puzzles. So you'll get a sentence, and you can change one of the words, and there'll be other words on the different pages of, you know, when you're in the book. And you can change, say, like, you want to, the one example was, oh, there's a forest off on the side, and like it's a sprawling forest, and you can change it to a ruin, And so that'll change the environment because you change the word in the sentence. And so I'm assuming there's going to be more intricate puzzles that, like, you'll have to play with words and sizes and do things when you're inside the book. And I think that's like a neat little touch because you're playing as a storybook. So
yeah, that's cool.
Not super difficult, but I don't necessarily need super hard games.
Yeah, anymore. I saw that was a big criticism of it online, was that people were saying it was too easy. Like, yeah. Like there was almost no fail-safe state, so it was hard to...
Yeah, like, I mean, you do have a health bar, but, like, I mean, and who knows? I've only played 3 chapters of it. There's only been, like, 1 or 2 enemies that have given me any trouble, and actually, it was just, I was impatient and didn't figure out the pattern. So I tried to brute force it, and I got a little bit hurt, but I haven't died. And, yeah. Outside of the bugs on the desk where I failed like a stealth sequence, and got eaten once. That's it. Like, there doesn't seem, and there's nothing that's like super punishing. It's like that you get attacked by the bug and then it just puts you back at the beginning of the stealth sequence. So it's like, just do it again. Don't get caught this time, I guess. People seem to be liking it though. It got really good reviews, but yeah. I think that was the one complaint I heard about it too, Tony. It was too easy. And that's it, I think, for us. No Earl, no Jeff. Earl keeps he keeps saying he has something he wants us to do with video game movies and stuff, but he's off.
A perfect night for it.
Yeah, it would have been a good one. Well, we're going to end it early this week then. Let Tony go and get some rest.
Yes.
And games are still coming out. Tony's going to keep playing strategy games. And hopefully we'll have everybody next week.
Right.
So, Tony, it's your turn. I don't ever let you say goodnight. So.
Oh, I don't even know what to do.
Tony, say goodnight.
Good night.